Young man, if you cross-reference to the teachings in Timothy, one is being serious-minded. In other words, being goal-orientated, having your life planned fully. And involved in number two, every young man have to wrestle with lust in their life. Now, I know young women also do, but especially the men, they have to wrestle with lust in their life and overcome it. And if you cannot overcome it in your life, it will be a long, hard road onwards. But you can fight and win it when you're young, it will preserve you. That's why David said in Psalms 119, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." How shall a young man preserve himself from evil? By taking God's word in his heart. It will always turn you to right, to the right things of life. And every man, if you are struggling right now with lust in your life, you are not unique. Paul told Timothy to flee, what did he call it? Youthful lust. And especially now in modern society, it begins to affect even young women, young men, young women. And if you can get past this stage, you will be able to enter into something deeper that God has. It's a battle that must be won in your life. Don't postpone the victory of that battle. Don't delay it. And many young people say, "Let me enjoy first and then after that consider." And then after 30 years of enjoyment, they want to get out. They can't. They got into a bondage in their life. It's too difficult to get out. And in modern society, all throughout the Bible, do you notice that the dominating spirit that has always brought the curse upon the world is lust? In Sodom and Gomorrah, which was destroyed by God, it was lust. In Noah's time, it was lust, violence, wickedness. And the same thing is now trying to fill the earth. Now, in that respect, no matter what modern education or modernization say, we still have to say that even though it's old-fashioned, and the world can call it what it wants, but believe me, it's the only thing that will bring a good, clean heart and mind to do the things that God really wants us. And in even the secular people's heart, they know that that is the best. That is why in the secular world, when they have to elect a leader, even though they themselves are adulterers and fornicators, they want their leader to be pure. Isn't it funny? That's because they know that is the right standard. Something on their inside knows it. And all places in America, that is true. Where it's accepted, it's just a free society. But yet when it comes to choosing a leader, they know something in them tells them, the leader must have a good family. The leader must not commit adultery. The leader must not fornicate. They know all these things. And as Christians, we proclaim that this standard of righteousness is for every believer. That is why the Bible calls us the light of the world. But that's another topic altogether, how to avoid sexual sin. That's another topic altogether. And among the truths involved are, occupy your time. Yes, a lot of people don't occupy their time. And so, when your time is free and an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Number two, physical sports or activity. Because tension without harmony with the physical body will cause a person to turn inward. And in a survey that has been done, they found that when a young man or young woman is on a tight rope, a young man is walking on a tight rope, you know, it's high tension across the Niagara Falls or somewhere, that they're on a very tense area or in a group adventure, etc., they found it strange. They fall in love faster. It's as if there's a psychological need of companionship. But where the tension is not there, the pressure of the emotions is also not there. So there is such a thing where Paul said that physical spiritual exercise profit unto all things, and physical exercise profit a little. Part of the little that it profits is your harmonizing of the sexual drive in your life. That is number two area there on your, in your physical well-being, having a harmony of your spiritual life and physical life. Praise God. Well, that's another topic. We just throw a few points there in case some of you need those points, right? So we go on to chapter 2 here, as we look into all these four areas. Part of the ministry, you notice, in maturing is a struggle as you minister to different groups. Perhaps some of you could start in the ministry as an older person. Do you know that if we come to know the Lord late in life as an older person, we can struggle also to mingle with the younger people? Here are some of the struggles. You find it hard to come down to the level to play at their level. Part of the skill in children's ministry is coming right down to the children's level, becoming childlike without becoming childish, but being able to play with them at their level. And we have one children's worker, and it's always the children get attracted to him. And I observe and see the principle behind it. There's only one main principle. He enjoys the children. And number two, he comes right down to their level and play with them. So the children like him. And we can have another three or four Sunday school teachers, and they can teach beautifully in class, but when the class is over, they leave. There's a difference, the children could pick it up. So, talking about young people to children, how about older folks coming to the young men? Same way, when we are old, we feel that it's beyond us and out of us to come down to the young people's level. So that causes a gap in relationship. So that gap can come, and if in our ministry and life all we have is old folks, after 10 years as a pastor, your average congregation age 70. Marriages conducted, nil. Funerals, 21. Something is wrong. Or if you are a young man, and all the time you attract is young, then you got to pray to the Lord to do something. Which is why sometimes we got to almost have a personality transformation and change to do it. For example, if all the songs you sing in the church are songs like Silver and Gold Have I None, Jesus Loves the Little Children, What kind of people will you attract? Right. You can guess it, right? Huh? And so there has to be a certain mixture so that we could reach out to both the older and the young ones. Now, Timothy, in his own life struggle in relating to the older ones, is that the young do struggle to relate to the older ones. And Paul always has to tell Timothy these words, that do not let anyone despise your youth. Do not let anyone despise your youth. So they have to change and mature. And then some ministries are different. All they attract is women. They could be a man, but all they attract is women. I think there's something funny and something wrong. I mean, if it's roughly even, but if at the end of 2 years of ministry, you have a congregation countdown and you look at your survey, and you found that you have 99% all women. Nothing wrong with women, right? They can do tremendous jobs. But just all gathered in that place. Something funny. Maybe if we look further, maybe it's because he's an eligible bachelor. 10% came for the Lord. Eighty percent have a vision that He's the one for them. So for 4 years, they had to fight it out among themselves. So there's something wrong. Or perhaps, if it's a church that is all men, then we got to examine it carefully. Is it that this person has an inner hatred for women? That when when women come, they feel this person is a male chauvinist. He's born again but not renewed. And so they never stay longer than 1 month. Because he runs down women. He does everything to tear them down, puts them down, suppress them like the Stone Age. I mean, even further back than the Dark Ages. Stone Age. And so here and there are statements made so that they always feel it, and before long all the women run. So there's something wrong. Part of maturity is to have a healthy church or a healthy ministry that ministers to all different age brackets, except unless God calls you to a specific bracket, which we understand. God can call some people to a drug addict ministry, to reach out to drug addict, to street lingo. And my adopted daughter showed me recently a tape of a young Christian musician. And she wanted me to hear his preaching. So I said, alright, let me hear. Oh my, you should see that person preaching. He imitated Jesus when Jesus was a little kid. Jesus said, Amen. And I said, and you know what? I told her, I said, if he keeps preaching that way for the rest of his life, he will only reach young people. However, if all he's called to is reach young people, that's fine. So it's important for us to consider that maturity in ministry helps one reach to different age brackets. Which we have to change. To do that, it has to be a very deep change in our lives. Unless God specifically calls us to just one age bracket. Maybe like Willie Josh to the children's ministry. Or like some people, they are specially called to the youth ministry. Then that's fine. No problem. Except in their private life, they still must be able to relate to all four age bracket. So their public life, they may not. But if we are not called to any specific age bracket, then in our public life and in our private life, we must be able to relate. Got to sit down and cry it out. And most of the hindrances, guess what? The hindrances to all the age bracket lies in our past family life. Your own inability to relate to your parents, your father, or your mother comes out. Or your own inability to relate to your own brothers and sisters when you were small comes out. Or to your children. The answer to that maturity is in your past. You have to have God deal with it in your life. It's not an immediate answer, but that's the answer. In chapter 3, we see a maturity of ministry is in being able to touch society in welfare ministry or good works, the Bible calls it. Now with that, we want to consider the other theme that flow through the book of Titus. Notice here that there's an emphasis here in chapter 1 on sound doctrine in verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. There is also an emphasis on good works on all three chapters. Notice in verse 16, it talks about those who did the wrong things. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. And then in chapter 2, verse 3. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, leaders, teachers of good things. And